Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Apostle Armstrong, who is waiting now for Apostle Miller and Apostle McIntyre. We're having a little rain down where we are, and I just find that to be very good, because God knows what the earth needs and how much it needs. Now, sometimes we also wonder if what is happening, if there's a reason. You know, I used to wonder if there's a reason for all of this. Why is this happening? Why is God allowing tornadoes and these hurricanes? Good evening, Apostle Miller.
Good evening, Apostle.
And we're still waiting on Apostle McIntyre. But I was just lamenting the way I used to years ago. And I come to the realization that God knows how much the water needs to be replaced in the earth in order for us to get through the summertime. Now, I also was lamenting over the fact that, you know, why hurricanes? Why tornadoes? And it is coming out now that God is not the one that's causing these tornadoes and these hurricanes. It is we, the human, the way that we have taken care that he gave it to us and told us to take dominion over it. This is the third member, Apostle McIntyre.
Well, good evening, Apostle Armstrong. Good evening, Apostle Miller.
Good evening, Apostle.
Well, good evening. And I was just, as a way of an introduction, was just talking about the conditions that we, the natural conditions, the rain that we are having. And what I was saying was that I finally realized God is not doing this, the hurricanes and the tornadoes. It is what we humans are doing to the earth, doing to the air, doing to the water, doing to the earth that binds all of this stuff. God just intended for a little, the water to be replenished that evaporates from the earth. But all this other stuff, we humans gonna have to learn that we're gonna have to take credit for our own actions and our own behavior. And we will pray now. We did not pray before, so we will pray now. I would say the last will have to pray, but that's all gotten old, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, praise him. Sound like a setup to me, but it's okay. Oh.
All right.
Oh, Heavenly Father, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we just want to say thank you for this wonderful day that you've
been. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, that you have been with us all day long. We just appreciate your goodness and your mercy. Father, I just thank you for this time to gather together with my colleague over your word tonight. I thank you for our listening audience tonight. We just command the airways tonight to be conducive to the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that whatever and whatever direction you lead us in, will be a blessing to those that hear it, even a blessing to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for revelation and knowledge beyond our own natural knowledge. And, Father, we just thank you that the more we gather together, the more we talk about the word, the more real you become in our lives. So we thank you for everything that will be done tonight. Let it be orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. And, Father, we just say thank you so much for all that will be accomplished tonight. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. As I was talking to Apostle McIntyre earlier, I was asking her what, excuse me, y'all, for some reason my allergy or something is acting up. I have post-nasal drip. I hadn't heard anything. And she said, well, very positive that we just see what God had to say. And so I go to the computer and 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And when I read that, I thought about yesterday, whenever Apostle Miller's ministry hour, and this sort of dovetails in there where people are looking to the world for their answers. People are looking to, when I say the world, let's break it down. They go to TV, they expect to hear a commentary to tell them what they should believe or what they should think. If we just went through the voting cycle, then how they should vote. And then they go to their, look at these programs that's on, and excuse me, and then their mind is locked in the lust of the eyes and pride of life and lust of the flesh, because those are the three things that that when you sit down and you look at these programs that come on TV, those are the three things that they appeal to. So I thought tonight then, if Apostle McIntyre doesn't have any word from the Lord yet, we will sort of kick this around and help the people to understand what it is that is driving them, why they believe what they believe, why they say what they say, why do they behave like they do, and why do they put up with stuff that doesn't line up with the Word of God like they do. So, and it is very interesting. So, Apostle McIntyre, McIntyre.
Oh, it's fine, sir.
Yeah, you're the part of love, and so.
Oh, I think I might have to call for a special meeting with you and Apostle Miller. I'm gonna have to start getting on time so I can see what the setup is.
As long as you don't call me late for lunch,
that's what
then I'll be all right.
Oh, Pastor Miller, you don't want to start off?
No, I tell you, when he read that scripture, the thought that came to me is what Jesus said about the two commandments. We are to love the Lord God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, God just want us to make sure that He is our number one priority. He's really our first love. You know, and that's what we have to learn to keep balance. And I think when you take your eyes off of the Father and His Word, you can't help from but start gravitating to the things of the world, you know. And so that's the thought that came to me. I learned you can't even love yourself like you should. You can't love other peoples if you ain't loving God like God should love Him, because it's our love for God that motivates us when it comes down to everything else. And you were saying, why would people do that? Well, what you constantly pay attention to is change your desire. If you making the things of the world a priority, you know, you meditate on it, you're thinking about it, you're trying to figure out and understand everything in the natural, it's going to do that to you. The Lord, I found out, the Lord help us to bring balance. We have our spirit, so we can communicate with God, with spiritual things, but we have the flesh that we can deal with the natural. But you got to know how to bring balance there, you know. And that's why, you know, loving God help you to me, my love for the Father and my relationship with Him bring balance for me. It helped me to put things in the right perspective, kind of give me a better view about things. You know, the Bible, I think I mentioned, the Bible tells us cursed is the man that trusts man. You know, because, and I really believe ever since day one, God been trying to get humanity to love Him, develop a relationship with Him, and trust Him. Even when the people were saying they wanted a king, remember, God didn't want to give people a king, because He told them, if I give you a king, other words, the king going to get selfish. The king going to start dominating you. The king going to start looking out more for himself than you all. But God wanted them, but He wanted us to develop that relationship and trust Him. And I believe, you know, with everything happening, I think God is still trying to get us to look to Him instead of look to man. You know, now don't get me wrong. Man have his part to play, or better yet, humanity have their part to play on this earth. But God is the God is the number one. God is the source. That's why I said God, loving God and putting Him first, help us to bring balance, help us to make some sense out of something, you know, what our part is, help us to understand, to know all of that, you know. Because God know, you know, that we got to have the necessary thing in life. God know that certain desires we have to have. But above all, He don't want us to make all of that our first priority, you know, because like He said, the love, because one thing about the flesh going to always lust and crave for more and more and more. You can't satisfy it. But when we love in God like we supposed to and have that relationship with Him, it bring about a peace of fulfillment, you know. It's okay if I don't have certain things. It don't bother me like that, you know. You know, even help me with my credit cards and with my money. You know how sometimes, and I don't know about y'all, sometimes I go in the grocery store and sometimes I find myself, I might go in the grocery store maybe 3 or 4 times. And the Lord had to tell me sometimes, he said, you don't need that. You don't need to be going to the grocery store 3 or 4 times and spending all that money. Like I said, to me, God just helped me to, you know, loving Him and my relationship. It just helped me to put things in the right perspective, because your flesh going to always crave after some. If you allow it always, I want this, I want that, I want that. And a lot of times if you get what it's craving for, lusting after, guess what you find? There ain't no fulfillment in it. So I think that just, to
that
me,
is
this is what I see from it, that you know, God want us to always trust him, because that's the way God planned and established everything, for him to be first. But it's so many things, and because we're living in a fallen world and because we have an adversary, the enemy have always went to extreme measures to get us to look away from God, you know, to doubt what God say, don't trust what he say. But when we really make him first, Pastor Ray, minister at Apostle Gwen Church Sunday, and he said something that really I've been kind of meditating on, but kind of go with what you're saying now. He was saying, he said, when I stop trying to make, I think, Gwen, help me now if I'm quoting him wrong. He was saying something about when I stop thinking about how to make money or get money, money stop.
Yeah.
He said, when I stop trying to make money, get money, and my focus, all my focus was on God and what God wanted me to do, he said, money start coming to me. Is I'm quoting it right, Gwen? Apostle?
You are. Yes, ma'am.
You know,
yes, ma'am.
And so that you know, I kind of been meditating on that as well some this week, because some people got their mind on the wrong thing. I'm, like I said yesterday, I'm not so much focused on what people and mankind is doing. My main focus on God, what you want me to do, or what you would have us to do as born again believers, you know. Because I don't focus on the sinners, because the sinners, the Bible said they're going to get worse and worse. They're going to get weaker and weaker. But I focus on the sinner, the part that I focus on them, give me a word to bring them into the kingdom. And then when it come down to the saints, Father, open up the saints' eyes that they will see who we are in Christ and what you would have us to do. You know, but there too, again, thank God for the Holy Spirit. He helped me to bring balance, because if I can't think too much about the unsaved no more than the saved, because if you ain't careful, it can cause you to lose focus on the Lord and what the Lord wants you to do. Because if you ain't controlling your thought process, or better, your thinking process, you can allow yourself, if you look around, you can allow yourself to start being fretful, fearful, all of that will start coming in. But if we just keep God first, you know, just keep him first, I think that'll help us. And you won't have to love the things of the world. But some people, that's what they seeking after. You know, more, this, and they not, and some of them know it's not no fulfillment in it, but they still don't think just loving God and having God in your life is enough. You know, everything began with God, and everything should end with God. Because I had to learn that, you know, some people think if I get the Lord, I won't be able to enjoy life, and I can't have a nice home, and I can't have this. That is not true. That is not true at all. God wants you to, first of all, God wants you to be fulfilled. And God knows that things don't fulfill us, you know. And I had to learn that. I learned that, you know, so. When you said, you know, love not the world, neither things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and that's true. When you start really focus on it, you know, and making it your number one priority. All right, Apostle Gwen, help me out.
Oh, you were doing amazing. You were doing wonderful. I think, too, a lot of it, and you said it when you first started, and our identity. When you said that, I went back to Mark 4 and verse 19. This is the source of the word. 19 says, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word." See, we have to understand that Satan, he's not more powerful than God, but he's a strategist. And he's been around a long time. And you can just look at the different commercials and things that you see, those things are geared to stir up an appetite. And when he told us to meditate in the word and keep it before our eyes, that's to stir up an appetite in us to want the things of God. But we found, like you were saying, that there's so many, and I'm like you, I have to say the believers, because we shouldn't be shocked at what the unsaved is doing, because they're acting like their father. But I think the thing that really should cause us to go into prayer is those that name the name of Jesus, but the fruit that they are displaying, it doesn't come from the kingdom of God. And I think a lot of believers, like you said, a lot of them have just sold out. I mean, they've compromised. Compromise is so,
that's right,
oh, it's big in the body of Christ now, because you want to be on the stage with who's who, and you want to be this.
That's right. That's right.
So compromise what you know to be true. You compromise what you believe. I think two things that really got me, and I ain't trying to go off in this issue. I ain't going to take y'all down that field. You know, even with this election, and I saw two pastors really upholding two people that are for things that are so against the word of God. And I'm thinking to myself, how do you validate that? How do you say that you are a minister of God? You say God has called you to preach the gospel. But you're teaching and you're standing and agreeing with other things that does not agree with the word. I mean, how do you reconcile that back to the gospel? And so, like I said before, because we want to be on stage with some of the greatest and we want our names up in light, but, you know, and it's amazing that we're talking about this, because I was sitting here a little bit earlier. And I'm telling you, I had such a wonderful encounter with the Lord. You know, I just love, he's always here, but I love when he manifests himself. And I was just sitting here, and I was listening and just talking to the Lord, looking at some things. And I said, you know what, Lord? If somebody came and offered to pay my house off, pay my car off, build me that new church, and asked me to deliberately violate and go against your word, I said, my answer would be no. My answer would be no, but I think there are so many believers that have allowed the appetite for the things of the world to become stronger in their lives than the word. Mm-hmm. Like Prophet Miller said, they don't believe that the word of God can cause you to increase, to abound, to flourish, and you just have to do it the world way. But the only reason you want to do it the world way is because of what you're giving your time and attention to. If I keep looking at things that go against the word of God, and see, the world puts laughter with it so it don't seem so evil, you know, and if I can get you to laugh at it, you know, then it don't say, and if I can just keep slipping it in more and more and just keep you looking at it, we get desensitized to what does not please God. And then all of a sudden it no longer displeases us. Because we've lost our identity. He told us to be holy, even as he is holy. And a lot of times people think holiness means I can't wear makeup or I can't wear pants. Holiness is simply coming into agreement with God's way of doing and God's way of being right. You know, everything that Jesus did, he did it because he said, I only do those things that pleases the Father. And I think a lot of us have lost our reverence for God. We've lost our sensitivity to God. We've forgotten that he still holds. We've forgotten that God still stands for what's true and for what's right. And what the world has to offer you, it's really just a trap with cheese on it. That's all it is. It's just a trap with cheese on it. And once you bite that, and then it brings you into bondage. It brings you into slavery to the world, brings you into condemnation. And so I think just as the body of Christ, we're just putting too much time and attention into things of the world. We're just not spending enough time in the word so that we can identify with who our creator is. Get in the word, and whatever he says is right, that's what's right. and whatever he says is wrong, that's what's wrong. I don't care how many celebrities are living together. That's not what God said for us to do. And we got to get to a place that you're going to either live by the word of God, or you're going to live by those, and once you, and you know those people throw you away in an instant. You fail to do what they want you to do or whatever, they just throw you away. But God said he won't ever leave. He won't ever forsake us. Even when we miss it, he'll wash us and forgive us and clean us up. I'd rather stay with him. Because he has
Apostle Gwen, we read in the scriptures, I started last week talking about apostasy, and this was happening. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, Paul was telling Timothy about how people going to depart, he said how the Spirit speak expressly, that's the 1 Timothy 4th chapter, that in the latter time, how some going to depart from the faith, they're going to get heaved to and seducing spirits and doctrine of the devil. Then in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, he talk about how that the last days going to be danger, pearly time shall come for men, shall be lovers of them own self, covetous, boaster, pride, blasphemy, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and all of that. The Bible is being fulfilled. But the apostles, when you go back and read these epistles, they constantly were talking about holding fast to the apostle doctrine, that be steadfast. And the Bible is saying about they were steadfast in the apostle doctrine. Even when Peter got up and addressed the people after they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they was addressing what Jesus said and what Jesus came to do and what Jesus accomplished, and that's what they continue in it. But if you go, when you get in the epistle, you see all of them start talking about how some people were departing from that. They was getting away from it. And we living in that hour now that a lot of people, they done departed from it. And that's why it's no holy fear no more, no reverence to God no more. Because people don't allow them, go right back to what you said in Mark 4, and I think it's in Matthew 13 as well, how the sower plant the word, but it tell you how the chaos of the world, the deceitfulness of riches begin to choke the word out of them. Then some of them, because they didn't understand the laws and principles of the kingdom, when persecution and tribulation came for the word's sake, the Bible say that they were offended. But we living right there in the time that Apostle Paul was trying to encourage Timothy, because he was in prison in Rome, but he was encouraging Timothy the whole fast to what he was taught as a child, the things of God, to continue to hold fast to that and keep that. But we living in the time, like you said, a lot of people, and like I said, the Bible, when he said the falling away, he wasn't talking about the sinner. When he was saying the love of many gonna wax cold, when Jesus said that in Matthew 24, he would come at the believers. I'm amazed like you is when I see, some compromises and some of the saints and what they doing, it's like if you ain't preaching to 1,000 people, that ain't God. And there too again, we have to be careful. Go back to what Apostle said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. God judge our motives. God observe what's behind why I'm doing or why I'm saying what I'm saying. And God know if I'm doing it, to be recognized, if I'm doing it, and my motives is not pure, I hope people don't think God don't see that. God see that. That's why he said in Matthew 7, they going to say how they prophesied. Well, first they said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devil. He going to tell them to depart. I never knew you. Because God know they use their authority, their God-given authority, their God-given gift that he gave them, and it wasn't to bring glory to them but to themselves. You go in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Jesus was hard on the scribes and the Pharisees. He was hard on the leaders. Now, he told them, now listen, now they know the law of Moses and all of that, but when it come down to doing like that, they were giving them the word, and they was uplifting and talking about what Moses and all of the rest of them did, but they did not follow the teaching. Well, we got some people like that now. You know, in the body, they'll talk about, Jesus. They'll talk about the first church, the first apostles and all of that, what they did, when they did it, how they did it. But some of them stopped following in them footsteps. Now, I know the methods of God changes. Methodology, I know it changed, but God's word don't change. And anytime anything is going contrary to what God's word say, that's when we got to really realize, with the help of the Holy Spirit, realize ourselves in and say, now, wait a minute. Because the enemy always trying to, pervert and twist things of God. He did what he did, God said. And that's what the enemy have to make sin so appealing that it be irresistible. Well, now God know the sin, but God, now God understand. God know how you, God know how we is, but what I had to come to grips and thank God for the Holy Spirit. Through the finishing work of Christ, everything that was him to block me from living right or doing right, God fixed it through Jesus coming. Now we can live right. We can live the way God wants us to live. Yeah, we can hold fast to what God say, but that's based upon our desire. But if like you said, if you keep meditating on the world and what they doing, it's amazing. You got some saints, they can tell you everything that the world doing, and they can't tell you what God say about what the world doing or what God want them to do. Now, don't get me wrong. It's nothing wrong with looking at the news. But once you look at it, if you're going to, you got to take the with the word and say, now, okay, now they saying this and they said, let me see what God say about that or how God want me to address this or deal with this thing. I tell people all the time, it's nothing wrong with looking at the news. But when you allow the news to take precedent over what God's word said, that's what my problem is. When we start letting the news and anybody else dictate them and it taking part, I know what God said, but you know how people's here. Everything God said was based upon mankind. So God already know what works. It just that some people ain't fully persuaded that what God said work. It works. But God, it do work. But I want to make that point. You read in the scripture, you read in Timothy, what apostle was telling Timothy as a young pastor. When them false teachers, and y'all, there's a lot of false teaching going on. That just it. It's here.
Yeah, you're right. And as y'all were talking, my mind went to the seven churches. Well, what did he say to the first church? And I'm just going to read it. So I said, verse 2, mm-hmm. It says, I know your works, your labor, mm-hmm. your patience, mm-hmm. and that you cannot bear those who are evil.
Mm-hmm.
And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found mm-hmm. them liars. Verse mm-hmm. 3, see, we get into this righteous thing. Now he said, verse 3, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Now this is one of the things I mentioned to my home church the other Sunday I was there preaching there. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love.
Mm-hmm.
And my challenge to them was sit and think, what was the church doing 50 years ago, 60 years ago? What did it instill in us? What was the foundation? But But that we got to get back to the first love and see, and the first love is God. And see, what is God saying? What is he saying to us now about where we should be about? And now verse 5, he says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first work, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. He made it clear that just because you left your first love, that doesn't mean you cannot be forgiven,
be restored.
Or you confess and repent, and you can be restored to the ministry that your ancestors did, and that covenant that your ancestors made with God and God made with your ancestors. And, you know, it's awesome when we think about, we sit and we look now and reflect back. Maybe we have moved away from our first love. Because whenever we were following God, things sort of fell in place. Not that there weren't trials and tribulations, but we had a peace. Like in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I think it's the second verse. But the first verse is how we should pray, how we should be praying, and we should pray for all people. And then he tells us why we should pray for them. We could have that quiet place. We could be in that quiet place. We could have a godly life. And that's what I was explaining to them, that our ancestors, even though they were oppressed, they were sharecroppers, they were being oppressed, but they still had the love of God, and they reached out to people in the community. If something was going on in the community with a family, they were there. They were there. If the house burned down, they were there and they rebuilt the house. They understood their calling. So now we got to get back. And a lot of us now, as you mentioned about the Lord's church, got to be a Lord's church. You got to have 1,000 members. So you don't need that. I look at it that the small church, they are the ones that's doing the greater work because they are there with the people. When you in a congregation where you got 1,000 members or more, how are you going to meet the spiritual needs of them individually? What you wind up doing, you wind up entertaining them. Because when they have an issue, and they need you, they can't get to you. So you're basically an entertainer. You tell them people what they want to hear, and you are timing your sermon with the collection plate. That's the other situation that happened. And a lot of, I know there are several churches you got to bring your W-2 in. And you got to sit with the pastor and with your W-2s, and they determine what you need to be paying, what your tithes need. That's not biblical. Definitely not biblical, because it's what's in your heart. I can give $1 million, but if that's not in my heart to give, I'm going to be... I wonder what they're going to do with the money. I wonder why they bought that. You can't sit over there. I did that. I don't like that color. But when you give them your heart, you give it to them, and they're to use it to meet the needs of the people. That's what God is looking for. And that's what I'm hearing from the discussion thus far. It's all about putting him first.
And, you know, to Apostle, there too again, you know, now I believe God might, you know, just like I look at the late Billy Graham, look how many people God had that as evangelists he would minister. Now, my thing is, if God called you, just like with Apostle Paul was a great missionary. He was the founder of a lot of churches, but some of them other apostles, they just maybe had one church or whatever. But there too, again, now, if God called you to minister to thousands of people, well, guess what? God got the grace. God to give you the know-how. God to have you to have a minister staff to help you to do what you need to do. But my thing is, don't you be trying to do it. I was looking on one of my cards, something I wrote down a while back. It said God wants to develop us, not discover you. Too many saints, fivefold minister gift, they want to be discovered, not to be developed. And there too again, like I said, when you said go back to what you said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Well, that's flesh, and yeah, flesh want to be seen. You know, I think I shared it one time on one of the broadcasts that when it first came to me that I was a prophet. Like I said, my chest stuck out. You know, I allow myself to get kind of cocky. I'm this thing. You know, and when God started giving me the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom for people, and people were being slung in, man, but then when the word of the Lord came to me, I'm going to say it like he said in the Old Testament, when the word of the Lord came to me about the responsibility and the accountability of it, it just, you know, it changed my whole attitude. It quenched that little proud spirit, you know, that little cockiness. And there too, again, even with money, you know, there's nothing wrong. God, when you go in Matthew the 6th chapter, if you start reading it, God talk about giving. Giving is part of the character of God. But there too, again, people have to be taught the way that God said do the things the way God said do. People got to be taught, you know. And I learned that when I first got saved over 40 some years ago now. And I was so broke I couldn't pay attention, you know, a single mother trying to pay my bills. And God started me out with tithe and offering. Then God started teaching me how to give. God taught me every seed produced after his kind. He said, you want money, you sow money. I had to learn, and even to this day, I know. I don't have a problem with giving. That don't bother me because I found out through the word, the Holy Spirit led me through the word about giving. But there, too, again, my thing is we don't need to try to mimic somebody else's ministry. You know, if God called Apostle Gwen to minister to 1,000, if he called me to minister to 20, and if he called you to minister to 2, is Apostle Gwen a greater minister, apostle than we are? No. But see, we have that's going on. Some people trying to mimic other people, you know, just like with technology. You know, if God telling you to come on live and do something, it's fine. But don't be trying to use that to be in competition with your knowledge or your revelation, how many people you can get to be. Look, that's the thing I'm talking about. We got to know what God called us to do, or what each individual, what he called you to do. Well, like I said, if it's 1,000, God bless America. If it's 50, God bless America. You know, if it's 2, do that, you know. But so many times, when you let flesh get in there, flesh don't always going to be looking over the fence. They're going to want to be in competition, and then it'll try to mimic somebody else. That's the way flesh is. That's the fruits of flesh. That's what the flesh do. But when we keep our eyes on God, and like I tell people, I mentioned it yesterday. I hear some people say, I'm on a fixed income. Well, right there, you let me go. I'm not on a fixed income. Yes, I get Social Security. I'm 66 years old. Thank God for it. But that just don't take care of me a month. I don't put God, you don't put God in a box, and this is what we do if we ain't careful. If we ain't staying focused on what God works, we can limit. We can limit God, you know, but I tell people, you know, kind of just like with me, I pastor for God allowed me to pastor for 7.5 years. I was presiding elder for over 15 years. But, you know, now it's like God, as an apostolic prophet, God just sent me different places, you know. But guess what? It's Apostle Gwen, because she a pastor, she apostle, and she a pastor, she have a congregation. Is she better than me? No. But see, this way, if you don't know, go right back to Apostle Gwen said identity. If you don't know what God called you or what your assignment is, you're going to start trying to mimic somebody else, because you haven't been revealed to you what God called you to do. And that's why sometimes the body can't work together, because, you know, you got some, you know, you got some pastor coming together and working with other pastors, but then you got some up, if their name ain't on the top, that's somebody have identity Christ. They don't know who they are, because in the kingdom, we're not supposed to be worried about who name on the top, who getting the most attention. Because the way God got this thing of six, can't none of us really be successful without the other one. That's why when he ascended, he gave some this, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. And as long as the earth remains, y'all, we're going to have false apostles, false prophets, false evangelists. And we just got to make sure we're not part of the false, you know.
I, you know, and even just listening to the both of you talk, I don't believe people know how deadly compromise is. In our lesson in Bible, what I do, the associate class, and we were talking about the plagues and everything, how Pharaoh didn't want to let Moses go. And it was four things he tried to get Moses to compromise his freedom. He said, mm-hmm. you know, don't go anywhere, stay in the land, be just like us. There are people say, I'm a Christian, just you know, I'm a Christian too. You can do what we do. You can do what you want to do.
That's,
you know,
right.
I'm a Christian. You just don't, they're trying to compromise your freedom, put you in bondage. Then they try to get them to compromise their faith, their family, and their finances. They told them during their faith in Exodus 8:28, he said, you can go, but don't go too far. Well, what they're telling you today is, I told them, sir, when I first started coming into what we call a charismatic or non-denomination, I'd never heard anybody, you know, speaking in tongues, that people didn't tell me that was of the devil. I never seen people slain in the spirit and everything, so it terrified me. You know, I'm like, what in the world is going on here? But the more that I went with my former pastor and his wife, and I began to see, and then began to see it in the Word, and I began to read after, you know, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price, all these, you know, people began to get a better understanding. And I remember my pastor telling me, he said, Gwen, he said, I want you to be careful, because I don't want you to get caught up in that. You know, when they tell you don't go too far, I don't want you speaking in tongues. I don't want you to know them at all. I don't want you laying on of hands. And so it was too late. I mean, I was already in by that time. But that's what the compromise will do. Compromise will try to get you to compromise even your family. There's people that get up earnestly and go to church and leave their children at home.
Yes, sir.
So
you're right. I agree. You're right.
Your children, that God is for the adults, but then you don't need God. You're going to need God. And see, that's what the enemy wants us to do, to let our children decide. We don't let them decide whether they're going to school or not. So you're going to let a 5-year-old or 8-year-old tell you they ain't going to church today, they don't want to go to church? But you won't let him tell you that when the school bus running. You know, so the enemy wants you to compromise, because he really wants the media, he wants the TV, he wants all of this terrible living that people do to be the influence for your children. Look at most of our children now. They got all kind of piercings. They won't even put a belt in their pants. They didn't get that from the church. But we have just so adopted world's way of doing things, that even in the church, if they come in, they call it swagging, you know where it came from. If they come in like that with their pants down, and if those that are, the Bible says the older women are to teach the younger women, and the older men, you know, you're supposed to school the younger people in the things of God. But now if you say something
That's
to
right.
somebody now, their child come in and pants all down, sitting in church with hoodies on their heads and all this kind of stuff, that's so disrespectful. So they've got you. They just say, well, at least we got them here. No, you got them here, but I'm the shepherd of this house. That hood coming off your head. You going to pull up your pants in here. We've got ladies. We've got young girls. And see, what the enemy is trying to get us to do, rob us of our identity. We're supposed to look like
yes.
kings. We're supposed to carry ourselves like the godly. Well, it's nothing nicer looking than to see a young man with his shirt down in his pants and his belt on and he's clean cut and all that, you know. Or a young lady, you know, she's covered up, her breast is not all out, skirt so tight, there ain't nothing left to their imagination. It ain't just the children, you know. And so he's just trying to get us, and all it is the world is just trying to come in.
Yes, sir.
And because we are afraid to say anything, because that's Brother Sidious' child, and he's the biggest giver in the church. So if I say something, that's going to be in him, and he'll probably leave and take his money. You'd be better off for him to leave and take his money.
Leave, that's right.
You'd be
right.
better off. Do what God tell you to do. See, compromise is always available, but it's never affordable. It's going to cost us, and it has cost us, and unless we stand up now and begin to stand for the things of God, don't let people tell you, well, you know, you just be glad they're here. No, I'm glad you're here, but I'm not going to leave you like you came. That's why you're here, to be instructed.
Right.
And to learn. And
mm-hmm.
so we've got to get out of this thing about feeling like, well, if I say something, you know, they're going to get mad and leave. Well, they're not really with you anyway. Those are just opportunities. Okay, Jesus told them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you won't have no part. He lost his whole church. He lost the whole church except the 12. And then he turned to them. He said, y'all going too? I think it's time that the church stand up and start getting a backbone again. I don't mean telling people that they have to wear a three-piece suit and all that, but you're coming before a king, and we should come in respectful. Respectful not only that we're coming before a king, but there's other people in the house. There's other men's wives, other men's daughters. These are your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so we should look to ourselves to see that to it that we don't offend. But when you start allowing the world to tell you what's right and what's wrong, you're headed down the wrong path, and that's not going to be good for us. It's not going to be good for the church, and it is not a great representation of the kingdom of God. So I think we got to get some backbone. We done lost our backbone. Scared to say anything. And, you know, you say it in love. I don't mean be nasty or anything like that, but you just have to say, that's not acceptable. And then tell them why it's not acceptable. Tell them who they are in Christ Jesus. You know, tell them you're better than that. So if we would just stop compromise, that's the problem in the church. We got too much compromise, and it comes from the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. That's what it is. The
mm-hmm.
world putting pressure on us to conform. Now, we can't talk about Jesus, but they can talk about anything they want to talk about. They can put anything on TV they want to talk about, because when we say it, it's hate speech. When they say it, they're just freely expressing themselves. So we got to get
say that
place.
One more time. Say that one more time. Please say that again. When they say what now? Say that again.
They said when we speech. But when they say it, they're just freely expressing themselves. That's their First Amendment. Well, we got a First Amendment, too. We're to honor the Lord. So we're just going to have to stand up and just start decreeing and declaring, you know, what thus said the Lord, and watch God, because God's always going to back his word. Just watch God, and we'll stand up for him. God will stand up for us.
I was just thinking how the other thing that they put on us is separation of church and state.
Yeah.
But now they decided that they want to put it all together because they want the state to give money to their church schools and all of that. Mm-hmm. But that's okay for them. But if we stand up and make a statement. That first thing they're going to tell us that, no, you can't be proselytizing in here. But, you know, you're absolutely right. We're going to have to start standing.
Yeah.
What's that old saying? If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And the church now, they're falling for anything now because they done took the money, the state's money. And
you know,
mentoring program, that was one of my biggest things during the, which one of those, not the old man, Jr., Bush Jr., whenever he started giving money to the church for mentoring program. Well, you start giving money to the church, then you're going to tell the church what they can say and what they can't say.
You know, Apostle, when I was with the late Ida Bell Park, I'll never forget, we bought one of the biggest church in Lancaster. And I remember when the monthly payment was 26, 23 a month. And it wasn't a good 100 people in there. And God always made a way. But my point is this. After we paid the church off, and it was some work needed to be done to the building, and she had a meeting with everybody, and she told us, she said, now God told me not to borrow no money. She said, God told me not
Amen.
To get that 501C. I'll never forget that.
Amen.
And do you not know every time a need came up, in that ministry, God told her not to get the 501C. God told her not to borrow no money. But I watched not a good 100 people, but every time a need came up, God always made sure that it was fulfilled. What you saying? This is what I'm saying. That when we stand up, like God tells us to stand up, based upon God, whatever the church needs, God going to make sure we have it. But as long as the church is leaning towards the world, the enemy, and that's nobody but Satan doing it, they're going to always, the world will always be able to dominate and control the church. And I said this about any pastor, any five-fold minister, your special pastor, if you going to lean more to looking at the people, and I had to learn that as a former pastor, because I came up under her after she retired. God had me to take over. But make a long story short, when we needed something, I carried on. I said, no, we can't borrow no money. And God had to show me when I first came a pastor, whatever the need that we need, he said, I don't want you to look at the people, and I don't want you to look at the government. He said, I want you to look at me, Ann. Look to me. He said, I'm the one to supply all your, and it works. But see, as long as the devil got you or got any of the believer looking towards the world, he going to always dominate them, and that's what he want to do. But when we look to God, if we look and stand on what God said, if God tell you to build a million-dollar building, and if you do what he said do, God will show you how to go about and cause that money to come to you. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants the church to look to the world. He wants the saints to look to the government. Where the government, I ain't going to let the government dictate to me. Because before I started getting Social Security, God took care of me, and I didn't have a congregation. I've been evangelizing now for about 15 years or more. But I had to learn that. Now, please hear me. I don't die to everybody across everything. But my point is this. God wants us to look to him. And God, he said, he called me to give into our bosom. But we got to do it his way.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly. We have 10 seconds left, but this radio, internet radio station we was on, God took less than $50 when I started out. We had 21 people broadcasting a week. And now we are all over the earth. We might be in China, but the numbers might be so low. But we're in Russia. We're all over. And that's what God told me. if you do the ministry according to the vision I gave you, I will provide all the necessary resources.
Yes.
And he has fulfilled that his covenant.
Amen.
All right. Our time is up. And thank everybody for listening. And I trust and pray that something was said here tonight that touched your heart and brought joy to you and brought comfort to you. And as a result of how you responded to it, you have glorified the one who created us, the Father. And we just thank you. And we thank him for his Son. Thank him for the Holy Spirit. But truly, we didn't know what we were going to talk about before the program. And I say within 10 minutes of the program, whenever the scriptures, I'd simply say, go to the computer. And I went to the computer to click on Bible Gateway, and that's what popped up. So until next Friday, shalom.
Shalom.